This is an interview with Brian Walsh, taking place at Old Parliament House on the 14th of September 2007. Brian Walsh started work for the Provisional Parliament House in 1980 as a House of Representatives attendant. He will be speaking with me, Barry York, for Old Parliament House's Oral History Collection. Thanks very much for your cooperation, Brian.
Pleasure, Barry.
If we decide to make a transcript, would that be okay with you?
Eventually? Yeah, that's fine.
And do you understand that copyright in this recording is owned by the Commonwealth?
Yes, I do. Yes, yes.
And on behalf of the Chief General Manager, I want to thank you too, because this will be a very valuable addition to our collection. Can we begin at the beginning? Can you tell me when and where you were born?
I was born in Shepparton, Victoria, in 1934.
And can you tell me about your family, your parents?
My father was a PMG linesman, and when I was 6 years old, he decided to come to Wodonga with the PMG as a linesman. We lived in Dookie, which was just out of Shepparton.
Uh-huh.
And then we moved to Wodonga when I was 6 years old. And I spent all my school days in Wodonga. Went to the old convent. The nuns taught me back in them them days.
What school was that, Brian?
That was St. Augustine's in Wodonga, in High Street.
And what about your mother? What did she do? What was her background?
Oh, my mother was just, she come off the land, my mother, yes. She was named Sadie Crabb.
Was she a Victorian too?
Yes, she was a Victorian, yes.
From
yes.
Shepparton area?
Shepparton area, yes.
And what about the family itself? How many brothers and sisters did you have?
I have 2 brothers and 5 sisters. I did have 6 sisters, but Pamela, when she was 7, passed away back in them days with diphtheria.
Right.
Yeah, so she passed away. But all my my mum and dad have died, but my 5 sisters and 2 other brothers are still going pretty strong.
Good, good.
Yes, yeah.
What were your parents' names? Oh, you've said told my your mother's name.
My
your
mother's father. Name was Sarah Crabb,
mm-hmm.
and my father's name was Matthew Walsh.
Matthew Walsh.
With an E.
Yes, yes. And what can you tell me about the standard of living that you grew up with? How would you describe it?
Oh, it was a big battle, Barry. See, my mother, she just looked after the family, but Dad was a PMG linesman. But, you know, we had our battles back in them days, well, which most people did.
Mm.
But we had great times as a family, and I'll never, ever forget them.
Mm.
Yes.
I'm wondering about formal education. You mentioned the St. Augustine's, was it?
Yes, I went to school. I only went to grade 6, Barry, which that's not as high as the merit back in them days. And I left school when I was just on 14 to go and work.
And was there a reason for leaving school?
Oh, well, I wasn't that interested in school, Barry. And the nuns were pretty tough back in them days, and they were pretty tough on me because I used to do a paper delivery around Bandy and Boongoola of a morning, and sometimes I wouldn't get to school till about 10 o'clock, and they got in on me and that. But I used to sway the nuns a bit because we used to get a lot of tips, and I used to put them in my tips in a little mite box for the orphans and that, you know, back in them days.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, but, yeah.
When you were at school, did you have any ambition? Like, was there something you wanted to be when you grew up, you know?
Oh, not really, Barry, no. I just wanted to get out and earn some money for the family, you know, and help Mum along with the bills and that sort of thing. So I first started with a hardware store, but I only lasted there about 2 weeks. I just couldn't get on with the lady manager there, and I left. And And then I went into groceries after that, and I was in groceries for nearly 20 years.
And who, was that with a firm in Wodonga?
Yes, it was in firm in with Jacob's Foodliner. They were the big, he had a big chain of stores, and after that he sold out to Woolworths, and Woolworths took over all his stores.
So you were with them for 20 years?
Yeah, roughly 20 years, yeah.
What were you doing with them?
Well, I was just, well, if I was just a grocery attendant, you know, filling up shelves and, you know, we used it sometimes, another friend of mine, John Gale, we would do night duties and fill all the shelves up for the next day and make sure that, the, you know, we used to clean the shops and everything like that. And after that, I left there and started with Valley Potatoes, a firm from Benalla. That was just the pre-washed potatoes, and then after I think I was about 2 years in Albury with them, and he asked me would I come to Canberra, and they bought a Pat Smith out in Queanbeyan, so I decided that, well, you know, I'll take the young family up to Canberra and see how it went. That was about roughly 1972, 1973.
So who did they take over in Queanbeyan?
Pat Smith.
That was a grocery store?
No, that was a washed potatoes. Yeah. Pre-packed washed potatoes.
I see.
Yeah, so I managed that for probably 6 years. And then they decided, McPherson and Turner were their names, and they decided to open up a big store in Albury again, and they asked me would I come back and manage to go back to Albury and do that. So I had to talk to my wife, and I said no, I don't, you know, the kids, you know, I had a young family then, and I decided to stop in Canberra, Queanbeyan, and then they said, oh well, we want you to go back, we're going to close this one down. So I just left, and then the opposition heard of that, and I went to that. Dick Curry was the name of the firm, Direct Potato Supplies. Yeah, so I went there, and I managed that for possibly 5 years, and then they closed that one down, and it was owned by the Canberra Fruit and Vegetables, one by Dick Curry and Matthew Bordolucci.
And were they in Canberra? Or
yeah, they were in Canberra, yes, at the fruit markets there, just beside, they had a big building along the railway line beside the Fishwick markets.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Okay. And Jim Murphy had a store there, just, yeah.
What year are we talking about, approximately?
About 78.
I see.
78, 79, yeah.
And when did you get married, by the way?
Oh, Barry, I've been married 40... Again. I got married in St. Augustine's in Wodonga.
Yeah, okay. And that was a fair
yes,
a few years back.
And after that, yes, well, I've got 9 children, 5 girls and 4 boys.
Very good.
And 20 grandchildren. 20 grandchildren.
That must keep you very happy.
It does, yeah. So there'll be plenty to do after retire next week.
Yes, and yes. We should have mentioned that yesterday, was it yesterday?
Yesterday.
In the Parliament.
Parliament, yes.
Would you like to tell us what happened?
Yes, well, it was a bit of a surprise for me because I didn't know any of my family were coming along, and I was on the opposition side, but Cheryl, my supervisor, said to me that morning, Brian, do you mind going onto the government side today? I said, no, that's no problem. I had a feeling that there was something going on. And anyway, at 2 o'clock, my supervisor came out just before question time started, and she said, look up in the galleries. And I look up, and here's the front row taken up by my wife and a lot of my family,
mm-hmm.
and grandkids, which I think there was about 25 there.
Yeah.
But it was a great surprise. And after question time finished, the speaker got up and thanked me for all the service that I'd given to Parliament over the many, many years. And he said some very nice words. And then the Prime Minister got up and spoke. He spoke probably 3 or 4 minutes, and he thanked me very much for all the work I'd done at Parliament, and it was great. And then Mr. Leader of the Opposition, Mr. Rudd, got up and said some very nice words, and then they give me a great ovation by clapping. I held up Parliament for a few minutes, and then a lot of, mainly probably 95% of the members came over and shook my hand, and the Prime Minister put his arms around me and thanked me very much, and it was very emotional.
Yes, of course.
It was a great day.
Well, you started work in the Provisional Parliament House in 1980, didn't
Correct,
you, as
Barry.
An attendant?
Yes.
And that's 27 years.
27 years, yes.
Are you fully retired now, Brian?
No, well, Barry, I told my supervisor that I'll finish when the Prime Minister calls the election.
Oh, sir.
But I will finish up next week. I'm sure next week will probably be the last week of the 41st Parliament, so that'll be my swan song, Barry.
So let's talk now about how you came to obtain the job in Parliament House back then.
Well, Barry, after I finished with Canberra Fruit and Vegetables, at the finish I was just looking after the fruit and veggies deliveries and all that thing. I had five people delivering fruit and vegetables, and then when Canberra Fruit and Veggies sold out to Ianelli, which was a big chain of trucks, you'd probably seen Ianelli's.
Yep.
And then they decided that they would stop delivering around hotels, motels and corner stores and all that, so they said to me that we're not having that anymore, and my job was finished. So I went home and told my wife. She was upset, but I said, "No, don't worry, I'll get a job." And after that, I was judging at the races at the time, and I said to Paul Felsman, who worked down here in the transport office, and he wasn't attended earlier before he went into transport, and I said to Paul, did you know of anything jobs going at Parliament House? And oh, he said, let you know. So he rang me on the Monday, and he said, come in for an interview. And Mr. Ian Cochran, back in them days, interviewed me, and he said, and the next day he rang me, he said, when can you start? So I was really out of work only for a week, so I started here as a parliamentary attendant. Mm. And my first job was working at the Lower Isle just there, and my job back in them days was to, as soon as you started work, you'd go around and clean the ministers and members' offices and deliver mail during the day, and I never had any chamber work because I was only a grade one. You just start off as a grade one.
So, what was the interview like for the job? Do you remember being interviewed for it and what happened?
Oh, no, Mr. Cochran just said, what experience would I have, doing this job? And I said, I haven't any, Mr. Cochran, but I've had some good positions in other jobs, and I feel pretty confident that I could do the job as a messengerial attendant. So he was quite happy with that. And then next day he rang me and said, when can you start?
And were you living in Canberra at that time?
Yes, I was living in Canberra, yes.
Whereabouts?
In Holder. Yeah, in Holder, yes. Yes, well, when I was with the fruit and veggies, I was in houses, you know. So it was the firm's house. But after I finished, I thought, I bought a house in Holder.
And are you still there?
I'm still there, Barry, after 36 years, yes. Okay. Yeah. Yes.
How would you get to work each day?
Well, I had very good friends, and the people that worked very close to me used to give me a ride to work. Yeah, so very rarely I caught the bus, but other messengerial attendants lived around. And later on, I used to go to work with the Deputy Sergeant of Arms, Delma Dixon. She just lived around the corner from me.
Oh, yes.
And I used to come into work with her. Yeah. So since over the last few months, I've just used the car, and if Joan ever wanted it, she'd drive me to work.
And with the job, when you were starting off, was there any training for you?
No, there wasn't any training, Barry. No, not like they have today. You just used to do your duties of the morning, and then do your you'd probably get 5 or 6 mail deliveries a week, and if there was any spare time, you would probably go round to the table office and help in there.
Yeah. What was the table office? What did that do?
Oh, well, you, like old records and that. There used to be a chap, just can't remember his name now, in the archive things, and then we used to move boxes around, and that was just there, and I was at the table office. Yeah, so, but you would do overtime when the parliament sat, and you would man doors outside the doors.
And anything else you want to say about the nature of the job?
Oh, Barry, you meet some terrific people, you know, like the clerks and the speaker and many, many members. You know, they make you very welcome to the house. And
Who was your boss at that stage? Was it Ian Corcoran who was actually...
No, my principal attendant back in them days was Jock Big. It was a funny thing. I used to serve him with potatoes. He had a big fruit market at Kingston. They had the best fruit shop in Kingston back in them days. Yeah, so Jock Big was my principal attendant then. Went from Jock Big to Neville Gathercold. You'd probably know Neville, would you?
I've heard of him,
yes.
And were there any attendants who you worked with back then who went back a long time at Old Parliament House? I guess I'm really saying, were there elderly attendants, you know, who had started here in the 40s or 30s? Not the 30s, but the 40s.
40s. No, I don't think so, Barry. I think when I first started, Harold Whitby was a long-serving... I started off working with him in the lower roll box, and but there wasn't that many. Oh, Norm Crawford was another fellow that had been around for many, many years. Jeff Brett was the principal attendant in the chamber. He was a supervisor in the chamber. I learned a lot off Jeff. He was a great fellow. I still keep in contact with Jeff. I suppose Jeff now would be in his 80s.
Yes.
But a wonderful fella, and I owe it all to him what I learned in chamber work. Yes.
What sort of things would you have learned? How would he have taught you?
Oh, well, it was mainly the bills and the what sort to do, the you know, and the amendments and Hansard Greens. You know, make sure that you're always on time for duty. And no, he was very good, Jeff, and very, very good.
With the Hansard Greens, how would that work? Like, what was your role related?
Well, when they come down the tube, Barry, we would take them out to the members, and they would correct anything that wasn't there, and then we'd get them back off the member and tube them back to Hansard.
And would you take them to the members in the chamber?
Oh, yes, if they were there, yes. And if they weren't in the chamber, we would just put it on their desk. And if they didn't collect them at night, we would just place them back in the chamber attendant box and give it to them next day.
I see.
Yeah.
I was wondering, when you first came to Canberra and saw Parliament House, what were your impressions?
Well, Barry, I didn't even get interested in politics till when I first started here. I never taken that much notice, but since I've been here, I've always been interested in politics, and it's been a pleasure to serve in the house, both houses. It's been an honour and a privilege to serve on both floors of the house.
Were you aware of the building, like before you came to Queanbeyan or Canberra?
I knew where Old Parliament House was. Yes,
but had you seen it, like at the movies or the pictures of it?
No, I hadn't, Barry. No. It was mainly when I first started that my interest in Parliament House was very strong.
What about your parents? Were they political at all? Did they have any interest in politics?
Well, I don't know if I should say this, but my father was a very strong Labor man, And he thought that Ben Chifley was the greatest Prime Minister the country's ever seen. And but as I say, when I was a young fellow, I never took any interest in it at all.
Yep. How many attendants would there have been back then?
Barry, I think there's roughly 33 permanents, roughly, and probably 30 sessional attendants. They just came when Parliament sat, which that's my position at the moment. Yeah, so we had about, probably 63 attendants in the old house.
And what is it like now? Has that changed?
Oh, it has changed a lot, Barry. I think there's only 3 permanents up there now, and there's probably 20 sessional attendants.
Gee, that's all.
It is, it is, yes, yeah.
It's not many.
Well, they haven't, they don't do the mail deliveries and that sort of thing like we used to do here. There's not half, quarter. Wouldn't be a third of the mail that comes through at the new house that what used to come here.
Email would have.
Oh yes, that replaced all that. Yeah, so they've closed a lot of the boxes down at the new house, and they just open when Parliament sits.
Mm-hmm.
They had probably 4 or 5 attendants up there during the week to sort the mail, and I think mainly now that the mail room come up and deliver it to the members' suites.
Well, was there a uniform?
Oh yes, we started off with the old green uniform. I don't know if you've seen that. It was just dark green pants and the green jacket. Yes, but we've had 3 or 4 changes of uniform over the years. Yeah, Bob Halverson was the speaker at the new house. He changed our uniform, and after that, Mr. Martin, the next speaker, changed it again, and we've got a new uniform now, which is brown, and it's a green jacket and a greenish tie with the coat of arms on it. And the clerks wear the same tie. The clerk and the deputy clerk and the assistant clerk always wear that tie.
Well, what about a code of conduct? Was there such a code like relating to how you should address members and that kind of thing?
Well, I've always addressed members, or Miss Barry. A lot of the attendants call them by their first name, but I've always called them by their Mr. or Prime Minister or Leader of the Opposition, Mr. Speaker.
What were their directions sort of written down for the attendants?
Oh, yes, it was directions written down, yes. Yeah, but a lot of the attendants didn't obey their instructions, but I always have. I always called Mrs. or Mrs. or Mr. Speaker, or Mr. Harris the clerk, or Mr. Wright the deputy clerk. So I would always do that.
Was there any kind of a secrecy pledge that attendants had to take? I mean, if you were privy to information that the media might be interested in, for example, to stop.
Well, I never got asked that, Barry, but it was always that both sides of politics were the same, and you would never say one word against the Liberal Party or the Labor Party. You would keep that to yourself, and we were always told that by our principal attendant. Yes.
So what were you told not to talk to media?
Oh, no, we were never told to talk to media. We never, very rarely talked to the media, very rarely. But they would get no information out of me anyway, yep. Barry, none at all.
But I was wondering if that was part of the code of conduct, that it was a formal requirement that you were told this is part of the job,
Oh, well, that's right, yes. Well, when I had my interview, Mr. Cochran told me that, yes. Yes.
And you've mentioned that the hours differed, like when Parliament was in session, you were work different hours, is that right?
Oh, yes, we used to work till when the Parliament wasn't sitting, we started at 8:30 and finished at 4:24. And when Parliament sat, we would work from 8:30 till House rise. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we would be sent home early, but others, but they always used to have attendance on the doors, and chamber staff always had to be there till the house usually rose at 11 o'clock, 10:30 adjournment, and 11 o'clock. But you know, when they had when the government had special bills and that to go through, they might sit till 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah,
which I've been in the chamber at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning and went home and back again at 8:30 next morning.
Yeah,
yeah. But back in them days, Parliament sat at 2 o'clock, and not like today. They sit different hours up there now.
Well, how did it affect the family life if when you had to work extended hours?
Oh, Barry, the family, you know, my wife was pretty, she was happy with the overtime coming in, which helped a lot. We had a young family, and every little bit of overtime helped back in those days. Mm. I think just a grade one attendance money back in them days was $9,000 a year. Today, up the new house, it's around about $44,000 a year. Mm. So things change, Barry.
That leads to the next question, actually, about the unions. Were you in a union? Was there a union for attendance?
Yes. Well, we paid union fees. I think it was five. They used to take $5 a week out of your pay. But over the last 10 years, I just pulled out of the union and I wasn't a union member over the last 10 years. I've been at the new house.
Was there a reason for not staying in the union?
Oh, well, I just felt that, you know, it was just an extra bit of money that I could use for home, and no reason that I pulled out of it. Most of the attendants did, and I just followed. Most of the attendants did pull out of the unions. I don't know if there's any attendants in the union today. I doubt it.
And which union was it?
It was the... Barry, it was, I'm not quite sure. It was, had something to do with Parliament.
Wasn't the Miscellaneous Workers Union, was it?
No, it wasn't that, Barry. No, it was another one.
Not the Commonwealth Public Service Union?
Oh, that's the one. That's the one. The Commonwealth Park. Yes, it was. Yes. Yes.
And did you ever have industrial action? Or issues?
No, we never did. We never did. No, right. No. We never. The attendants never strike, Barry. No, we all was there to do the job.
When you started back in 1980, were there women attendants?
Very few. Very few. Yes, probably 3 or 4. Yeah. The sessional attendance, there was probably 6 or 7, but there was mainly men.
Yes.
Yeah. But up at the new house, it's more women than men now.
Yep.
Yes.
Mm.
Yeah. So things change, Barry, and we've got a lady supervisor up there now.
Yes. Mm. Were there any women supervising in Old Parliament House?
No. There was Jock Big and Jeff Brett and Never Gathercole. They were the principal attendants when I was here.
What were the areas, like the physical spaces in the building, that you mainly worked in?
Well, I mainly worked in boxes, lower old or top old, or... Yeah, there was different boxes. King's Hall, we had time in there. I had time down in the mail room. They used to have 4 people in the mail room. They had a grade 2 running it, and he'd have 3 other attendants, because with the mail, there was so much mail coming in 3 or 4 or 5 times a day. We would do that. And other times, if we didn't have mail duties to do, we would go around the office and clean phones and make the, and send, at the end of the week, you would send, get boxes ready to send on to the members' electorate. And so it was pretty busy. Pretty busy as an attendant back in those days.
And the chambers themselves, or the House of Reps, would that be where you spent most of your time? Or?
Yeah, well, in 80, I think I went in there when that photo was taken, roughly 84. I was a grade one, and there was a grade three position coming up, so I put in for the grade three position and had an interview, and I got the job. So some of the grade twos appealed against me. You're supposed to go from a grade one to a grade two and then a grade three. But this grade three position came up, most of the grade twos put in for it, and so I got the position as a grade three so I could work in the chamber back in them days, because back in those days it was just only grade three could work in the chamber.
Strikes me that you took a lot of pride in...
Well, I did. Work. I did took a lot of pride in my work, and I thought it was just a great privilege and honour to serve on the floor of a house. And I'll never forget the memories that I leave behind.
Well, did you have access to all the facilities in this building?
Yes, had access to all parts.
Like, I mean, like, including tennis courts.
Oh, yes. Well, I played a lot of tennis with the Clarks. Yes, I played Alan Browning. I played a lot of tennis with him. Well, the first year I played a game of tennis with Billy Snedden.
Go on.
Yes, back then, Bill Snedden, yeah. But Alan Browning was a top player, and we used to have competitions against the library and Senate, and I think we held the cup for many, many years because we had a very good team. There was Alan Browning, myself, and Paul Felsman and Dick Lipskin were their names.
And talking of the library, did you have occasion to go to the Parliamentary Library?
No, Barry, I never... No, I'm not a book reader, Barry, and I never... Very rarely. The only time that would you go there, if you were, like, assisting the clerk or the speaker, you would take stuff to the library and, you know...
Oh, so that would be part of your...
That was part of our job. Yes.
Were you? Did you work for particular politicians, or was it just like whoever needed something?
It's just whatever area you're in, you would just go around, and mainly I worked over this side where the ministers and members were, and you would just look after that section. I did work up in Prime Minister Fraser was there. I worked in that box for probably 6 months.
Yeah. When you refer to the you worked in the box, what do you mean by that? That's the enclosed area?
Yeah, that's the enclosed area where you've got all pigeonholes for the mail to go, and we used to do mail runs every on the hour and just check the out trays and pick up any mail that was there. On the hour we used to do that.
And I should mention how we filmed you a couple of weeks
ago.
Oh,
yes. Yeah.
So we've got the boxes and the space.
Oh yes, you have too.
Inhabited. We've got them on
yes.
on film.
Yes.
Which I must burn a DVD and get to you too.
Thanks.
Now, I'm wondering also about any spaces here that were out of bounds to the attendants or the staff generally, perhaps.
Oh, Barry, well, I think the only parts the attendance would be not out, it was in the Prime Minister's area. All the other ministers, you'd go in there and deliver your mail and talk to the staff, but we were never allowed in the Prime Minister's area. They had a man there that, you know, if you wanted anything, you would give it to him. We never had any access to the cabinet room or anything like that. That was really the only thing that was out of bounds to us, to the attendants, all the other areas.
How did the attendants get on as a group, like among themselves?
Oh, they were great. They were a great, great bunch of people, Barry. They get on very well together. Yeah, yeah. I never made any enemies here. A lot of great attendants that have been and gone. Yeah.
And was there socialising among the attendants, like after work?
Oh, after work, yes. We'd go and have a drink there. Yes, yeah, quite a few. And with still the old Jeff Brett and Harold Whitby, we still meet once a year and go out for a luncheon and that sort of thing, yeah.
Where would you go for a drink back then?
Oh, back in the Ainslie Football Club. Yeah. Or the old club at the servicemen's club at Marnica there.
Ah, yes.
Near the football ground. Yeah, we would meet there. And so I hope to carry that on when I retire.
Yeah, of course. But were the attendants back then like an in-group, or did they mix with others?
Oh, they mixed. They mixed, Barry, with the, of course, the Senate attendants. They would mix in very well with the attendants from the Senate. And
and what about other workers in the building, like reporters and journalists and people like that?
Never had much to do with the journalists, Barry. We very rarely had anything to do. Hansard reporters, yes. Well, they'd come through the... mainly when the house sat, they would come through the back of the attendance box and onto the floor of the house. And there's a lot of people, Hansard people, very nice people.
And would you mix with them socially?
Yes, not outside the house, but during sitting hours. I made a lot of friends out of Hansard people.
And where would you eat, like for your morning tea and lunch?
Well, we had a meal room just near the, just as you come in the front door, and on the right down, we had a big room there where we had probably 30, where you could put your 30 cabinet, little cabinet things, pretty tall, where you...